Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Mouthing Off with Mike, the only wrestling podcast that went to Arizona State and didn't catch an STD. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the tail end of NFL draft weekend. So if you're a football fan, then you'll appreciate that line just a little bit more. As for the WWE draft, it's in full swing. We had round one Friday night on SmackDown. A little underwhelming. So if you didn't really enjoy round one of the WWE draft, make sure you check out my mock draft with Good Brother Martin and Jordan, where we did, it was like 30-round draft, and these rosters are fleshed out. So far, leading the charge on social media is Martin on Twitter. He won the best roster draft on Twitter. Jordan's leading the charge on Instagram. So the social medias are split here. Nobody's showing any love to your boy here, the NXT GM. So I'm a little sad, but that's okay. We've got an action-packed show. We've got the debut of a new segment here on Mouthing Off with Mike, and that's going to be Mike's memorabilia moment here, where I'm going to talk with Derek of Derek's Wrestling Toys and Tees here on YouTube. He's going to show me some of his cooler collections and show me an item that's near and dear to his heart here on the show. So make sure you stick around to the end of the episode. This is an ongoing segment I'm trying to do. So if you are a wrestling fan and you're a collector like myself, like Derek, and you've got an item you want to show off, like show and tell in middle school, then get on over to the show. Hit me up at MOWM_podcast and tell me why you want to be on Mike's memorabilia moment. As for, we're going to start off with AEW this week. There's a lot of news. I'm going to shift into WWE, and then we're going to shift into Mike's memorabilia moment. So sit back, relax, and let's get into this week in wrestling here on Mouthing Off with Mike. Let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. AEW Dynamite, we are back in Jacksonville at Daly's Place, one of the more unique venues that you can take in a wrestling show. It's kind of like an outdoor venue from what I've seen, the pictures from the AEWs. It looks really cool. You get the sunset. It's one of those destinations where I would absolutely love to take in an AEW show. So hopefully I'm in the Jacksonville area next time that they're at Daly's Place. I can go to a show. We kick off the show here with your EVPs being brought in, you know, chauffeured SUV. Here's Jack Perry with them. The whole ongoing segment, ongoing theme of Dynamite this week was Tony Khan is going to have an in-ring meeting with Jack Perry to end Dynamite. Now, we start off the show with a AEW World Championship Eliminator match with Swerve Strickland, new AEW World Champion. He won that title at Dynasty last week. It was a fantastic match against Samoa Joe. Swerve has finished his story and gone on to become the world champion. He is the first African-American world champion in AEW history, so shout out to him. You can't take that away from him. He is a part of history, and rightfully so. Here's a guy that came over into the company. He got himself over. Prince Nana alongside of him doing the dance, and it's a talent that just hits for me, man. I'm so happy for Swerve. This is such a great moment. Now, we didn't get a promo from Swerve, and a lot of people on social media were not happy about this, you know. He's the first African-American world champion. It's his first night as champion. You figure a promo. That doesn't happen. He's in a match against Kyle Fletcher. Now, Swerve wins. Of course, pretty predictable there. I didn't think Swerve would lose to Kyle Fletcher. A good match. Good match to start Dynamite. Now, we did have audio issues all night on Dynamite. So, AEW audio technician, what the hell's going on over there, man? They got to get that sorted out. It's something that I feel like only happens in Daily Place because of the unique venue that it is. But man, it took away from a lot of these segments. And I have to say, like, the backstage interview with Thunder Rosa, I could hardly hear. After Anna Jay and Mina Shirakawa's match, if I'm butchering that, I'm sorry, folks. Don't come for me on social media. She got the win, Mina, after the match. Anna Jay attacks. Here comes Toni Storm to make the save. Here comes Serena Deeb. Cuts a promo. Don't even know what she said, but it looks like Serena Deeb is Toni Storm's next challenger for Double or Nothing, potentially. I like it. Serena Deeb, super underrated women's wrestler out there, man. You just don't understand how good Serena Deeb is. And we got our TBS championship celebration here with the new face of TBS, Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, Stokely Hathaway, and the CEO, Mercedes Moné. I don't have the rings here. But speaking of rings, CEO Mercedes Moné slaps Willow Nightingale and breaks her ring. This is very interesting. Now, if you're not familiar with the history here, Willow and Sasha Mercedes had a match, New Japan Pro Wrestling, strong openweight women's champion. So Mercedes was supposed to win that match. You know, everything pointed to it. She got hurt. Willow ended up winning. She had a 2-month title reign. And thanks to the Good Brothers at Booking Like a Mark, me and Mike actually talked about this last week. She lost that title to Julia. Now, when we kind of bring the lens back here into this focus, I do love this storyline. Now, a lot of people are predicting, well, Mercedes is going to beat Willow immediately. She's jumped to the title picture. No, that's not the case here at all, ladies and gentlemen. There's a swerve coming. And I don't know if it's going to be Chris Statlander turning on her longtime friend Willow, which they've been teasing a little bit here. We still don't know who attacked Mercedes from 2 weeks ago. Everyone said it was Julia Hart. It was not Julia Hart. It was not Julia Hart. It was not the House of Black. So that leads me to believe that there's a woman who's on the way back. DMD. I think Dr. Britt Baker's going to come back and interfere in this match at Double or Nothing and cost Mercedes the championship. And we're going to get the DMD CEO feud. I'm all for that. That's my prediction. If it comes true, you can come find me on socials at MOWM_podcast. Give me my flowers. I deserve them if I got that right. But I think that's the most logical explanation. I don't want Willow to be a transitional champion, especially for Mercedes. Look, I'm a fan of Mercedes. I'm not captivated by Mercedes right now because she hasn't wrestled yet. Unfortunately, you know, she's not 100%. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, let Willow have the title at least till August, till we get to All In Wembley, at least till then. We had a Casino Gauntlet match. To be honest, I had no idea what was going on in this match. This is a fun match. Like, you know, you pin every time someone got pinned, a new person would enter. It was very similar, like a Royal Rumble, but there was pinfalls involved here. At the end of the day, Will Ospreay ended up winning this, and because he won it, he'll face Roddy Strong for the International Championship at Double or Nothing. Will Ospreay, probably more than likely, will become your new AEW International Champion. The Learning Tree, Chris Jericho's here. Big Bill comes out. It's a Chris Jericho circle jerk for 5 minutes. Big Bill puts Jericho over. He needs the Learning Tree of Chris Jericho. And Jericho put a nameplate or a sticker on the FTW Championship. He changed it from Fuck the World Championship to For the World Championship. He's got this shit-eating grin. And honestly, good on Jericho. He's getting great heat here. Crowd fans on Twitter hate him. Now, I'm not a Jericho hater. Yes, I did a whole video on Jericho, the Jerichoverse. Yes, I did. For me, it was more of like, I don't feel his passion coming through the product. But I don't know, this Learning Tree thing, it seems like he might make it work. So let's just see what happens. I'm gonna let it play out. If I'm wrong, I'll eat my words. That's it, period, at the end of the sentence. If I'm wrong, I'll eat my words. Because I'm going to eat my words on the final segment of Dynamite here tonight. Because I was wrong. I jumped the shark. Moxley beat Powerhouse Hobbs for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. At the end of the match, things got a little hairy. It looked like Hobbs hurt his knee. I don't know if he was selling. I hope he was. I hope I'm getting worked. But Moxley ended up choking him out to retain the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. A little lackluster for me now. If Hobbs did get hurt, then that would understand why it was lackluster. The final segment of Dynamite tonight is going to see Tony Khan in the ring with Jack Perry. Oh boy. You can see where already this is going. So you've already seen it, guys. Tony Khan was absolutely destroyed by the EVPs, by Nicholas, by Matthew, by Okada, by Jack Perry. Jack Perry says he did everything for AEW and he always wants to put AEW ahead. He punches Tony in the ribs with the mic. Just Tony sells this like he's dead, like he got sniped. He just down. Then here comes the EVPs. They're telling Jack, like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? They pick him up. in the classic, you know, EVP trigger. They got his arms. They're like thinking about it. Okada's like, no, don't do it. Then they grab him, they pick him up, they put him in the pile driver, and they hit him with the TK driver, formerly known as the Meltzer driver. So TK got hit with the TK driver. Hilarious. And then here comes the whole roster, which cracked me up because the roster doesn't come out when Jack Perry punches Tony initially. They come out after he gets pile driven on his neck, and they're like, oh, what the hell? You know, the refs come out. This was hilarious. This was one of AEW's signature endings to Dynamite, I'll tell you right now. Now, releasing the Wembley footage, I posted a rant, 12 minutes. Yeah, this was a terrible idea. This was dumb, blah, blah, blah. This did nothing. Yeah, you know what it did? It showed that you can't trust Jack Perry and the EVPs. So for the storyline continuity, it all worked out in the end. I jumped the shark, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be the first to admit it. I was wrong. Guess what? I'll be wrong again. And I'll be wrong again and again. So I'm not pressed about it. At the time, I just thought it was silly. Now with seeing this, I get it. Now fast forward. It's Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. The NFL draft is in full swing. Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. And they make their selection. Great, great pick. Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver. Really talented wide receiver coming out of... where's he coming from? Ooh, I'm forgetting his college. Oh, no. I think it's LSU. I think he's an LSU boy. If I'm wrong, someone will correct me. Now, they make a great selection in the draft, and Tony Khan is wearing a neck brace. And Rich Eisen of NFL Network goes, Tony Khan is the first NFL executive that is recovering from the effects of a pile driver that he took a day ago. Pat McAfee picked it up. And the boys, the stooges on Pat McAfee's show, were making fun of Tony for moving his neck so much. Then they interview Tony Khan Saturday morning, and Tony Khan ruins everything. Ruins everything. Tony Khan was cool. He was cool for 5 minutes, and then he went and ruined everything by making the comparison that AEW is Pepsi and WWE is Harvey Weinstein. What the fuck are you talking about, Tony? What are you talking about, my dude? If you're going to make a comparison like that, say AEW is Pizza Hut and WWE is Domino's. Say AEW is Pepsi and WWE is Coca-Cola. Hell, you could have switched that around. You don't have Pepsi Phil anymore. You could have said AEW is Coke and WWE is Pepsi, which would have been funny on both ends because it just would have been. If you know, you know. I'm not going to go into details on that. So he makes this silly comparison and then, you know, that's it. You lose the 5 minutes of attention that you had because of everything with your neck brace and the Young Bucks, and you blow it out because you want to make a silly comparison. Because here's the deal. Vince McMahon may be a scumbag, but that doesn't mean the wrestlers and the talent that put on the shows weekly are scumbags. That's a terrible comparison. If you're going to compare it, do the comparison a little bit different. That's what I'll say. I don't understand it. Now, look. I like the direction we're headed with this storyline. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes Tony Khan just says stupid shit. I don't know. As for this weekend with shows, this past Saturday, we had AEW Collision, which saw the Grizzled Young Veterans make their debut against the Acclaimed. We will see Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta take aim at each other in the parking lot brawl. Thunder Rosa will take on the Virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo. Next week on Dynamite, we'll see the Learning Tree Chris Jericho take on Katsuyori Shibata for the FTW Championship. Should be a good match. And Kenny Omega will make his triumphant return to AEW next week, Dynamite in Winnipeg. So, should be a very interesting show, to say the least. AEW, I'm excited. You know, Collision, Rampage. 3-hour block Saturday night. Always tough to watch 3 hours of wrestling, especially when it comes to Monday Night Raw on Mondays. Dynamite, good show. Collision, Rampage, pretty good. Obviously, the debut of Grizzled Young Veterans. Always great to see their talent. They're super underrated in the tag team division. I wouldn't mind AEW signing them. I also wouldn't mind seeing the Motor City Machine Guns. But I would love to see the guns in WWE. I just feel like that's the one thing that they haven't really done. And, You know, you could hit an AEW up next year. Give us a WWE run, Motor City. That's what I'd like to see. Overall, good stuff. AEW, people are talking about AEW, whether it's good or bad. So all publicity is good publicity at the end of the day. Let's get into WWE. We got a lot of things to talk about on WWE side, mainly a new women's champion and the draft. Let's talk some WWE. We're going to start off with Raw from this past Monday, April 24th. Look, the whole show headlined by the main event Battle Royal to determine a new women's world champion. The beginning of the show kicked off with Jey Uso and Priest have a little bit of a promo selling their match here at Backlash. Should be a pretty solid match. I'm interested in this match. Jey Uso ends up hitting Damian Priest with a super kick thanks to JD McDonagh. Classic JD McDonagh. What do you expect from the guy? We got the Awesome Truth beating DIY in a shocking match for the WWE World Tag Team titles. After the match, Ciampa did not shake the Awesome Truth's hand. So maybe DIY might be turning heel down the stretch here. The King and Queen of the Ring tournaments are back. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite tournaments in WWE history has been announced, and it looks like Gunther is putting himself in the running for King of the Ring this year. He has declared himself in the tournament. The New Day come out. They interrupt. It sets up a tag team match with the New Day and Imperium's Kaiser and Vinci. New Day get the win. After the match, Ludwig Kaiser absolutely decimates Vinci, kicks him in the head on the steps, and Vinci is no longer a part of Imperium. Now, we had a promo with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, which got us the infamous line from Drew that it's no longer banger after banger, but burger after burger after burger. Drew McIntyre playing up all of the body hate that Sheamus was getting last week when he made his return, that saying Sheamus was thicker, Sheamus was fat. I'm going to tell you right now, Sheamus is a whole ass meal. That man is a snack. Any disrespect to Sheamus, you got to get these two fists right to your face. I'll tell you that right now. Sheamus and Drew go at it, head-to-head promo battle. Good stuff here on Raw. Very entertaining. It looks like we're headed toward some sort of Drew and Sheamus beef down the line, which I'm all for. Sheamus takes on Shinsuke Nakamura in a first-time-ever match, and Sheamus got the win. Andrade and Ricochet tag-teamed here against JD McDonagh and Santos Escobar because Dirty Dom, his wing is hurt. He's in a sling, ladies and gentlemen, but no surgery needed for Dirty Dom, so that is some good news. So speedy recovery to Dom, and we've got the Women's Championship Battle Royal, which saw the man, Becky Lynch, win and become a 7-time world champion. She is the new world heavyweight champion on Raw. And Liv Morgan was the final woman in this match. So Liv Morgan seems to be with the curse to always be the bridesmaid, but never the bride. Monday Night Raw, pretty entertaining stuff here, I will say. Looks like we're angling potentially to Bronson Reed and Sami Zayn in a Intercontinental Championship match, potentially at Backlash France. We'll see when that gets announced, if it gets announced on Monday on Raw. And then we'll get right into the NXT and the WWE draft on SmackDown. And let's take a look here at NXT Spring Break-In Week 1. We had a NXT Women's Championship triple threat, Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyria, and Tatum Paxley. This was a hell of a match to the point where I thought Tatum Paxley was going to win the title at the end there. Roxanne Perez was able to retain her championship. This was a great match. Go check it out. The Family was in six-man tag action against the No Quarter Catch crew. They got the win here. Give me Tony D as Heritage Cup champion. Fallon Henley lost to Jada Parker. And Sol Ruka defeated Blair Davenport in a, I don't even know what to describe it, an NXT Spring Break-In Beach Brawl match. There it is, Beach Brawl. Lexus King beat Baron Corbin, kind of shocking to say the least. But if you've seen the draft on socials, you'll know Baron Corbin is headed to the Blue Brand. Once again, Baron Corbin revitalized his career in NXT, and he is headed back to the main roster. And your main event of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, was going to see Trick Williams take on Ilya Dragunov for the NXT Championship. And whoop that Trick. Trick Willie is your new NXT champion. What a hell of a match. What a hell of a moment. This was incredible. I love me some Trick Williams. Got to meet him at WWE World WrestleMania weekend. one of my favorites right now coming up here in the pipeline. Him as NXT champion just makes all the sense in the world. Now, he wasn't drafted on SmackDown Friday, Ilya, but I have a slinking suspicion that Ilya will be involved in the draft on Monday on Raw and very well could see himself get drafted to Raw or SmackDown. But what a title run for Ilya. He is going to do big things on the main roster. I think whatever show Gunther gets drafted to is the show Ilya gets drafted to. Potentially, Ilya becomes the third member of Imperium for a bit, or Ilya comes right out the gate and him and Gunther have themselves a beef. Maybe in the King of the Ring tournament. Maybe that's what sets it up. We'll find out. But really great week one of NXT Spring Break-In. Week two next week with some really solid matches. You got Ivar and Oba Femi for the NXT North American Championship, just to name one. And the NXT Tag Team Champions will be in action as well. So NXT firing all cylinders. Let's see what the rosters look like after the draft on Monday. And let's see if NXT got cleared out or not. The WWE draft is here, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got the first round of picks right from Cody Rhodes and Triple H. We've got Bianca Belair as the first overall pick to SmackDown, Jey Uso going to Raw, Carmelo Hayes coming to SmackDown, and Seth freaking Rollins going to Raw. Now, we started the show with Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles doing the contract signing, the most non-confrontation contract signing ever in WWE history. So very interesting stuff there. Then you got into the draft picks. Then we had Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee beat Legado del Fantasma after the match. Santos Escobar unveiled the footage that we all knew was going to incriminate Carlito. Carlito attacked Dragon Lee the night before SmackDown. Braun Breaker beat Cedric Alexander in about a minute flat with a spear. That man is scary good. Tiffany Stratton and Naomi ended in a no disqualification as new SmackDown member. Nia Jax, who was drafted in the second round with Randy Orton to SmackDown. Braun Breaker and Liv Morgan were drafted to Raw in the second round. Nia Jax making a play here already. In the third round of the draft, we saw LA Knight, go to SmackDown. Ricochet go to Raw. The Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman stay on SmackDown. And Sheamus stay on Raw. In the fourth round, AJ Styles went to SmackDown. The Alpha Academy, Gable, Otis, Tozawa, and Dupree went to Raw. Andrade switched brands to SmackDown, and Kiana James is called up, and she's going to Raw. The OC, Baron Corbin, Cedric Alexander, Ashanti the Adonis all are headed to SmackDown after being drafted on social media. Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler, Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, and Ivar are all going to Raw on social media. And the main event of SmackDown saw Cody Rhodes take on new SmackDown roster member Carmelo Hayes in a really good match here. Awkward spot where both of them went for springboard moves and they both missed. Cody Rhodes landed on his shoulder awkwardly. A lot of people were speculating that Cody was hurt. Looks like he's all good. Looks like he'll be ready to go in France against AJ Styles next Saturday morning. Overall, SmackDown a little lackluster for my liking now. Draft was pretty predictable for the most part. A couple NXT talents drafted up. Not a lot of brand switching taking place outside of two wrestlers with Nia and Andrade. Should be interesting to see on Monday what they decide to do with the draft and if they decide to call up more NXT roster members, if they decide to flip some brands here and there. Because you got 3 hours of Raw, you're going to have six more rounds of the draft, plus whatever happens on social media, plus those free agent pools. Rosters lock on May 6th, so you got some time to figure it out. But overall, very entertained on the WWE side of things. And let's go ahead and get into the final segment here of Mouthing Off with Mike. Not the final mouth off this week, but Mike's memorabilia moment here, joined by Derek of Derek's Wrestling Toys and Tees. So thank you guys so much for listening and for watching. I'll be back next week, and we'll be talking the post-draft, post-Raw, Backlash recap. Plus, stay tuned for my Backlash predictions. That'll probably be dropping Thursday of next week. So stay tuned to the channel and on the audio side. So without further ado, I present Derek and his memorabilia. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Mouthing Off with Mike. And this segment is a segment I talked about last week here in my Dynasty predictions. I am going to start talking to fans like yourself. You're listening, you're watching on my socials. I want to talk to you. If you're a wrestling collector, if you collect any memorabilia, if you see my whole setup, I'm a big Funko guy, that's my go-to. If you're a collector of any sort, I want to talk to you. I want to see your collection. And that's what we're doing here today with my main man. I've got Derek the Devastator from social media. He is the host and creator of Derek's Wrestling's Toys and Tees on YouTube. So make sure you go check out his channel right here. I'll pop it up for everybody. And we're going to take a look at his collection because I've gotten to see it over the last couple months and it is growing and he's got some really awesome pieces. So welcome in everybody to Derek. How you doing today, Derek? Tell the people what's up.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Oh, absolutely, Derek. So without further ado, I want to talk about your collection. So what got you into pro wrestling to start?
Well, I've been a wrestling fan ever since I was very young. My uncle brought me into the wrestling. He's a big NWA, the old school National Wrestling Alliance with Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA, the Four Horsemen, and he watches the Federation years of the WWE too, with Macho Man, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and the slew of characters. So yeah,
I love it. So that's awesome. So you've been a fan your whole life.
Yes.
That's awesome. And I know from your Twitter bio that you are a U.S. Army veteran. So I want to thank you first and foremost for your service.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Of course, Derek. Of course. So with that being said, you've been collecting for how many years now, would you say?
I started collecting since July of 2022. So almost 2 years.
Nice. Okay. So in 2 years we've been collecting. So let's get into it. I'm going to put you on the spot. Can we see your collection? Can we get a little insight into your collection? I know you have your YouTube channel and you show it off. Can the fans on Mouthing Off with Mike see your collection?
Yes. Actually I got a few that I want to share. I don't have the whole thing, but I could show you some good ones that I have. So the first one,
okay, let's do it.
I got to show up. This is my very first one. This is the Luminaries Sting, and this is from Series 2. Yeah. So I got to get the shirt to go along with that.
So, I love it. I love it.
You know, I'm a big Sting fan. I've been he's been like a mainstay. Of course, I've seen Sting's last match too, and it was just as advertised. It's so great for him to come out on top like he did and just great career that he has.
Absolutely. I would agree to that. And I'm going to miss Sting. It's weird to say that, you know, a guy in his 60s can go out there and do what he can do and have that last match. So I know you're going to miss him, but man, what a career, seriously. So I love that is the first of your collection. So what's the next one on the list that you want to share with the fans?
All right, the next one is one of my recent ones. I know I'm a little late for 420. So, I get it. So, I got me a Funko, and it's from.
Oh, yes, sir.
Rob Van Dam.
The whole effing show, RVD. And then yes. Is that the Money in the Bank briefcase? Is that correct?
Yep, that's the same one.
Oh, I love that one. That's a good one. I think I have that somewhere in my collection. So, that is a top tier RVD. I love that Funko included the custom briefcase too.
Yes.
So that's a good piece of it.
Yeah, that is so cool. One. Yeah, this is one of. I know I was kind of late for the party for that, so I might as well go ahead. This is still the weekend. Might as well go ahead and, you know, show my love for RVD. I mean, he can still go. I saw his match on Rampage. Man, he can still go.
No, oh, he, dude, it's crazy, right? Like, I think the 420 is keeping his body going. So whatever he's doing, keep it up. I love the RVD shout out there, Derek. And what else you got for us here?
All right, another one that I really like, another one I enjoy the most right now, the one of my recent ones, EO Sky.
Yes.
I love this figure. The whole outfit, the whole getup, and it looks exactly like her EO in the picture recognition here. This is like it's very toyetic, and it's so like it's like EO has been like miniature down to this size. So I really like this one too.
That's a good EO. I like it. Yeah, I have to say, I remember like the wrestling figures from when I was a kid. I'm sure you remember the ones from when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. They did not look anything like their counterparts in real life, but it's crazy now how realistic these figures look, because that looks exactly like Io Sky.
Yes. And it's amazing how, how it was back then and to now, how technology and all the futurist, all the technology and all the stuff that's going on right now that makes it more suitable for wrestling figures to get more articulation and more character in their figures. So that's really, they really came a long way from how they got started back in the late 80s, early 90s, and all the way to today.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's very impressive. And I'd say that too with the video games too, right? Because like we used to get some, with the video game scans. Like now, it's like that is the person. Like it's. I agree to your point. The technology we have is incredible, and it helps us collectors because we want something that, bears resemblance. We don't want like bobbleheads that don't look anything like, the person, or for figures that look not, that's not, Io Sky. That was Io Sky from Wish or something, but he looks like her. So that's what we want as collectors, especially if we're spending our hard-earned money on the stuff, right? Seriously.
Absolutely.
What else you got for us here, Derek? You got anything else for us? You got anything? I said have an item that means something near and dear to your heart. Do you have something that you really hold a true connection to?
I really do. And I've taken it
Okay.
back to my first time. I went to WrestleCade in 2022, and
Ooh, nice.
I met Thunder Rosa.
Oh, yes. We love Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, a quick story about her. I was on Twitter when AEW Elevation was out, and usually what I do on Twitter is I try to do like a review of a certain match or matches,
Yeah.
and I review these wrestlers and how good they are doing and their efforts and stuff like that. I saw on one of her matches that she had an outfit that kind of resembled like the Green Ranger.
Oh, yes.
I made a comment about that, and instantly she liked the comment, and not only that, she followed me on Twitter.
We love that. That's so cool, dude. And then you got to meet her at WrestleCade?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we talked for about like a good minute and a half, close to 2 minutes, because I know it was a long line. And I took a picture with her as well. If I can show you the picture right quick, it won't take me long.
No, go
So
for it.
yeah, just
You can also, if you wanna send it to me after the show, and I'll post it, on the video itself, so people can kind of see it a little bit better. Because
yeah.
I know how sometimes showing pictures
All right.
on the phone screens are.
Yeah, I'll see if it'll go.
Oh, hell yeah, hell yeah! You got the NWO hoodie on too.
Yes.
That's a great picture, dude. That's a great picture. That's an awesome moment. I
Thanks.
love that, dude.
Yeah,
I
I'll be,
really do.
and you want to, I'll be sure to email you that too, if you want.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd love to post that here for the viewers so they can see it a little bit clearer, 'cause I know how sometimes the phone and the computer, the cameras, they don't like each other too much.
Yeah.
That is awesome, Derek. I love it. Guys, make sure you go subscribe to Derek's channel. Go follow him on social media, Twitter. I post both of them in the description of this episode, and I'm gonna pop them up here on your screen for my visual video watchers. If you're listening on the audio side, make sure you check out the description, get all his information, get his link. The final question for you, Derek, is we've been seeing a lot of discussion. You got that AEW Sting shirt on, so I'm going to prompt you with an AEW question here, and
Okay.
I'll have you tell the people where to find you, and then we'll send it home, and we'll get back into the recap that for the weekly recap here. But with everything going on in AEW, we had footage, 2 weeks ago posted of the fight backstage and All In. We had Dynasty just last weekend, which we are recording this beforehand, so I'm hoping it's a good show. It should be a good show on paper. It looks
Yeah.
fantastic with some match of the year candidates. I know Derek commented on my predictions and said all the matches look great. I agree. Derek, what do you think about the state of AEW? What do you think they need to do to get over the hump and really be that next level, on the wrestling level? What do you think they need right now?
I should say this. I believe that Tony Khan definitely needs some help with the match bookings, because I think to me, Tony, he's doing so too much. I mean, he means well for his the roster, especially, the ones that are coming in, the big names like Adam Copeland, of course, Will Ospreay and Mercedes Moné, and a lot of big names as well. But I think what Tony needs to do is have some people around him to help him out with the booking of matches and how each person can utilize a certain way of how to make a certain program like Rampage or Dynamite make it seem more a fit more feasible. Because I think what it is, it's kind of like it's more like it's kind of a watered down version of WWE in a sense, because they kind of stray away from how they got started in 2019. And once that, if they stay up, I mean, they need to get back to the course of what makes AEW stands out, so that way they could be a constant competition to, WWE and others. So it's nothing wrong with healthy competition. It's nothing wrong with that. It's healthy as long as it brings, people watching and put butts in seats and whatever. And they need to stop worrying about the ratings too. And you mentioned it as well in one of your videos. They need to stop worrying about the ratings, because they know as long as they keep, the quality, keep the quality, because that's what's missing with AEW right now. They need to get back to where they were in 2019, all the way up to like close to the start of 2022, because that's when everything kind of like went sideways. So as long as they get to their the foundation how it was back in 2019, I think it who knows what AEW can do. It can improve, it can grow. I mean, it can be a, it'll stand the test of time,
I agree. You man, that is great insight. That's great analysis. That's better than some of the expert podcasters have to say out there. So Derek, I really appreciate that, because you hit the nail right on the head. They gotta go back to what got them to the dance. I appreciate you shouting out the ratings video. Much love there.
No problem.
Agreed. They're worried about ratings. They're worried about popping the demo. They're worried about this. That's what Tony said in dispute to, why he showed the footage. Well, the network execs were happy with the ratings. Yeah, the network execs are going to be happy with the ratings, but you had a lot of fans that felt, me included, that just felt it was silly. I agree. AEW, get back to what got you to the dance. Get back to being that challenger brand. Come up with quality over quantity. You can go have those crazy matches and book those funny meme matches that you do and do that, but not all the time. Just give it to us in moderation. But when you have some of the best wrestlers in the world, I expect better and I expect more. And let's hope Tony Khan does start to kind of dish those duties off, because Derek's right. Not only is he booking AEW content, he's booking Ring of Honor with the help of some others, but he also runs and maintains three different sports clubs. He's got the Tottenham Spurs, he's got the Jaguars, and I'm pretty sure I'm missing another club out there, but he's got a lot on his plate, and the guy could use a little help in that regard. So I agree with Derek. Derek, any final words here? Tell the people where they can find you, and then we're gonna move on to getting into the rest of the weekly recap. So anything you
Okay.
want the people to know, tell the people where to find you. You have the floor.
All right. You can find me on, of course, YouTube on Darius Wrestling Tours and Tees. Thank you all so much for all the love and the support that those who's subscribing, and for those who are new, be sure to check out the videos and check out the content, and hope that you like it. You can also follow me on Twitter or X on DVSTR underscore Derek 78, and you can also find me on Instagram and TikTok under Devastator underscore Derek 78.
Fantastic, Derek. Thank you so much once again from the bottom of my heart. It means so much to have you, to that you support Mouthing Off with Mike, and that love is shown right back to you here with Derek's Wrestling Toys and Tees. So thank you for coming on. Everybody, go out there. Make sure you subscribe to Derek's channel. Follow him on social media. We're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Derek. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much. Peace, love, and wrestling.